Let's switch gears in the remaining time that we have. And Cheryl, talk to us about the whole emotional space of working and learning remotely and what that psychological impact looks like for an individual who might feel isolated in some context.
Okay. So, you know, remote learning, there's a lot of us that are doing it. Before this situation happened, research was showing that more and more people were working from home and that employers were actually allowing telecommuting and being part of meetings. And so I've worked from home for about 20 years now. And it takes a different kind of dispositions and habitudes. And you really have to kind of rework your mindset to make sure that you're self-directed. And so there's a whole piece that goes with working from home. A lot of people think when you're working from home pre-corona that you were that you really weren't working and that they could come in and talk to you, and you know, they didn't understand that, yeah, I'm home, but I have meetings that I got to do. And so you have to think of boundaries and how you're going to set all that up. Well, now instead of being able to gently come into that and develop new kinds of methods and boundaries and ways of working, a lot of people have been forced into remote kinds of working environments, and they aren't really sure what to do. It's almost like they're having to learn to fly an airplane. It says we're building the airplane while we're flying it. Well, it's even worse. Now we're having to figure out how to fly an airplane while we're building it. So we don't even understand that. People that traditionally before the pandemic that work from home, they would go to social spaces. Like I have a daughter that would go up to Starbucks, or she'd go to different places. Most of my kids also have work from home options. And so for me, I never liked that. I always liked to be at home because I found that I even tried a walking desk for a while, you know, where you could stand and walk. And I found that there was a particular space where I typically created. And if I wanted to create, not just do mundane tasks like returning calls and that kind of stuff, I had to be in that space. So it was kind of interesting that my environmental space was tied to my ability to create and to do higher order thinking skills. So here's what I would recommend. You're home, all right? The first thing you want to do is you want to find, like my company, Powerful Learning Practices, creating an online community. We are known for community. We used to have a place called the PLP Hub, and we're bringing it back. And it is a social space that if you're alone, you can come in and you can work alongside other people. So there's constant chat if you prefer to text. There's where you can pull up video conferencing software and you can just sit here. Like you can be there working and I can be here working, and at least I'm near somebody like I would be in the office or would be at the school. There's just-in-time kinds of learning experiences and videos on, you know, what I'd really like to do is I'd like to use Google Classroom with my kids, and I want to go ahead and set up some curriculum and be able to do that, but I don't have a clue how to get started. Well, in this community, you'd have coaches that could hold your hand through that process. And so I think, and we're not going to charge for that. That's going to be free now. It's going to be free after this is, we all go back to whatever the new normal is. So I think that if people working from home, they've tied longevity to sense of community, you need to find ways to regularly engage with people. A tool that I like to use with my family is the part that's just driving me bananas is that all of my kids and grandkids are at home and I can't get to them. I can't be with them. So that I don't like that, right? So it creates anxiety. Is there's a tool used, and please know I'm not getting anything from any tool I mentioned. So there's full disclosure, nothing. But there's a tool I use called Marco Polo. And Marco Polo is video chat, and it works sort of like a walkie-talkie. And so if I'm online, it'll show me, great, my daughter Grace is talking, right? If I'm not online, it'll show me that there's a Marco Polo, like it does a text message. And I'll click on it, and there's their beautiful face. So now my employees and I are starting to use Marco Polo just to touch base, to say, hey, did you do this? It isn't a great strategy for keeping track of project management, so I'm not suggesting you use that, but it's a great strategy for emotional and spiritual kind of health, because we're able to see each other's face, take a minute, like Jen, who's works hand in hand with me on most of what we create in our company, got up really early this morning. She has a 3-month-old baby, and so she's in her disarray of what you look like at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, and she leaves me a message just saying, just wanted to let you know I'm up, and this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm thinking about. And here's what we were thinking though. And I think this would be great for your audience. So we had a webinar last night. We're doing a series of webinars on remote learning. They're also free, and happy to give you those resources so you can include it at the bottom of this. But in the remote webinar series yesterday, we talked about planning, and we literally had educators from around the world who came and talked about planning with us. And the planning was for districts or schools or teachers. So it was whatever kind of planning you needed to do. And there was a guy named Dan who was from Alberta in Canada. And he was talking about how what he noticed is that students, and of course I quickly generalized this to teachers, and we could generalize it to the general public, that they were going through a grieving process. And so what his district was doing is that they were helping to manage grief, and they were doing grief counseling. And then it hit me, bam. You know, whenever we're having to learn something new, whenever there is a change, right, extreme change, like the teaching and learning process, it wasn't like we had time to incrementally do this change. For many of us, it was bam. And for a lot of other people who are now remotely working and their whole world is upside down, they're having to figure things out. How do I do this? My phone's ringing. The kids keep running in. People need me. Grandma's, you know. So how do I handle this? So in times of extreme change, what we find is that we don't have time to go through the normal grieving process of loss. So many of us in our remote settings, students, teachers, you and me, are experiencing loss, loss of closeness, loss of normalcy, loss of relationships. In some cases, people loss of income, loss of what's familiar and comfortable and safe. You know, so there's a loss of being able to get to my grandmother who's dying, loss of didn't get to have my wedding, loss of seniors graduating and we're not going to have graduation and I don't get to give those last months that I know. So much loss, right? And so people are experiencing that loss. Well, when there's loss, you go through a grieving process and it takes a minute. The strongest thing that I would recommend for somebody who's experiencing fear and anxiety and depression and anger and all these things that we know are going to happen when you have a massive change forced upon you and a loss, is to forgive. And I think the forgiveness really starts with ourselves first. You have to give yourself permission to be forgiven that I can't control groupthink. I recently have experienced before the coronavirus an extreme amount of loss. I was put into a new situation and I lost one 25-year relationship, one 33-year relationship within weeks of each other. We lost a family member in addition to that through death. And there was just a lot of loss that was taking place. And I remember I didn't have any bearings. I couldn't figure anything out. And I was really angry. And who I was angry at was me. I kept looking at me thinking, if I had done better, if I, kind of like a kid does when they go through a divorce and they think they've done something wrong, right? So there wasn't a divorce, but I was just angry. I thought, what have I done and what do I need to change? And so I want people to give themselves permission to just forgive themselves and to know you can't change groupthink. You can't change society. You can't change what's happening. So give yourself permission for that. And then I want you to forgive other people. Because the people that are interacting with you in a very aggressive, a very anxious way are doing that because they're experiencing loss and that it's not you, doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with what they're going through. And so forgive them. And if you can get to a place of forgiveness, if I can reflect and think about what I've done, what I could have done different and change that, because that's what I can control right here, right? So if I think about what I've done and what I can control, okay, so there are things here I can control. I can be better to my husband. I can do things that are better here. And then forgive other people, right? Forgive myself once I've gone to him and apologized, right? And I'm an ordained pastor and teacher. And so in my world, we call that repentance. In the world of mindfulness and other people, sometimes they don't like that word, you know, that's part of the man's thing. So fine, don't call it repentance. Call it, I screwed up and I want to tell you I'm sorry. We'll call it whatever that is, because that's what it is, which is a very human thing, right? That's a very good thing to do. And then once you do that, I think you begin to feel the peace, and I think you can work through the grieving process, and I think you can work through some of this anxiety. Exercise during this time, because a lot of us aren't. We're overeating and we're overstimulating through different screens, you know, in our life, our phones and our computers and our televisions. lay all that stuff down, you know, unplug.
Cheryl, I want to thank you so much for taking the time with us here. You've shared an awful lot, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to share this with our listeners, with our viewers. I'm looking forward to you giving us the links that we can put on the bottom part of the screen. But could you also, for our listeners, give us your the URL for some of the free resources that you referenced?
Sure. So the easiest place to find everything is if you'll go to P as in Popcorn, L as in Learning, P as in Popcorn Network, plpnetwork.com, then go /blog. So when you get to plpnetwork.com, that's our website. But if you click on blog, we put a lot up on the blog. So you can get to the remote learning series. You can get to the video-based things that we're doing. You can get to a lot of the stuff that Powerful Learning Practice is doing. You'll be able to access the community from there. plpnetwork.com, come there. You can get lots of resources that'll help you in this time of stress. And that's what we want people to know. We want them to know, especially in the education field in which I work, you're not alone. We're here. We'll hold your hand. We want to sing Kumbaya. We'll help you through this.
Cheryl, thank you so much.
Thank you.